So women played a vital role, and I'm saying all that to encourage women. Don't get distracted or discouraged, because God got something for us to do. Pastor Robin, you good preacher. You know, your ministry may be in the kitchen. I don't cook, but praise be unto God. Whatever God has for me to do, I say yes to it.
Amen. Yes. So once again, I'd like to thank our guest, Women at the Cross, Dr. Audrey Terrell, Dr. Franklin, or Pastor Franklin, and Pastor McClendon.
Thank you.
Again, you're listening
thank
to
you.
You're listening to the CBTU, Coalition of Black Trade Unionists segment of Labor Radio. We look forward to seeing you next week on Tuesday at the AFSCME William Lucy Building at 6 o'clock, located at 6025 Burnside East. Thank you very much, and holla!
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
I'm a loving the old lion, a winner without fail.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the PDX Leo Party, Friday, July 31st, starting at 8 p.m. at Kelly's Olympian. A birthday celebration for all you Portland Leos, with special performances from Sleep of Old Dominion and the Chicharrones, Mike Crenshaw, Smoke M2D6, and many more. Again, that's the PDX Leo Party on Friday, July 31st, starting at 8 p.m. at Kelly's Olympian, located at 426 Southwest Washington Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to present The Harder They Come as part of the KBOO at the Clinton monthly film series. The Harder They Come is a 1972 Jamaican crime film. With dreams of becoming a successful reggae singer, a young Jamaican man, played by Jimmy Cliff, finds corruption from his record producers and the drug pushers they're connected to. Again, that's The Harder They Come, Thursday, July the 9th at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
As sure as the sun will shine, I'm gonna get my share right now. What's mine?
Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel?
Billy Rose was a low rider. Billy Rose was a night fighter. Billy Rose knew trouble like the sound of his own name. Busted on a drunken charge, driving someone else's car. The local midnight sheriff's claim to fame. In an Arizona jail, there is some who tell the tale. A Billy fought the sergeant for some milk that he demanded, knowing they'd remain the boss, knowing he would pay the cost. They saw he was severely reprimanded. In the black cell on a block, he hanged himself at dawn with a note stuck to the bunkhead. Don't mess with me, just take me home. Come and lay, help us lay young Billy down.
Good evening, this is Ruth Kovacs calling to
to you and you and you, hoping you're all listening to us. If you have any interest in prison issues at all, Prison Pipeline comes to you on every Monday evening. I'm here at KBOO with several friends, but my guest tonight is Tim Stevens. They call him Cowboy sometimes. We'll go into that later. And we are all hoping that Mumia Abu-Jamal, who has been having poor health problems, is on the mend. The last time I was in touch with anyone, he was getting better, so that's good news, but he's got a way to go. So if you're thinking of him, you could send him a note or a letter or something like you always do. Meanwhile, hello, Tim.
Hi, how are you tonight, Ruth?
Okay, are you nervous?
A little bit.
That's good, that's good. I like it that way. And what are you doing here with Ruth?
I don't know, I guess just to talk about my transition and how it's been coming back into society.
Coming back into society. So you were recently released from incarceration after how many years?
I did 10 years this time.
This time? How many years have you done altogether?
Yeah, I've done 26 years of my life.
Oh, that makes you over 35, I bet. Okay.
Yeah, just a tad.
And how do you like being out?
I love being out. I mean, I got a whole new perspective on life. Not only life, but I think a lot on myself. I think that's what one of my biggest issues was just the perception I had on myself and who I thought I needed to be and who I wanted to be. And
so the first time you got out and you wound up going back, you didn't get these perceptions of yourself?
No. My perception of myself was I thought I was an outlaw and a drug addict, and that's what I wanted to be, and that's who I was, and that's who I acted like.
And did you let them convince you, once a loser, always a loser?
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Do you believe that about other people?
No. Uh-huh.
What changed your mind?
What changed my mind is I got involved with the Phoenix program, and they allowed me, through the volunteers and stuff coming in, I was in what they call relationals, intentional conversations. I got to, I guess, break through the perception I had of myself through listening to my story being told by other people. I could kind of see how I'd boxed myself into a little box and how I believed that, you know, me, because of who I was or because of my past, I didn't much have a future.
Well, our listeners have heard that Phoenix phrase before, and for those of you who haven't, Phoenix Rising Transition is an organization that you've probably heard of. Perry Olson is identified with, and quite a few of the guests that we've had here on Prison Pipeline have fortunately been able to take advantage of the programs offered by Phoenix Rising, and it's done them a lot of good. And I'm thinking you are going to be among the many. You're going to join the crowd of those who are grateful that for transition from being incarcerated to trying to come back to society and be a real person. Phoenix Rising Transitions does exactly that. Is that true?
Yeah. For the first time in my life, probably in the 26 years since I first went in, I actually feel like I'm capable of succeeding. And not only that, I think I found a new value within myself, and learning through a lot of the teachings in Phoenix that, you know, not only am I valued to myself or a valuable person, that I can be a valuable to society.
Now, what would you call success for yourself? Have you reconnected with old family and friends?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I've reconnected with an ex-wife, mother of my kids, and we've begun to build a really good relationship through communication, which we never done, and which is a trait I learned through the Phoenix program. And you know, in any relationship, whether it's romantic, friendship, whatever, if there's not communication, there's not nothing. And I used to have a real hard time communicating how I felt or anything like that.
Is she attached to someone else or remarried while you were gone?
And she's separated right now, and we got two kids together, and I had very, very little contact with them since they were babies.
How old are they now?
Jimmy, one's 19 and one's 17.
The boy is 19?
Yeah, my daughter is 17.
And had you been in contact all the time you were incarcerated? They wrote letters to you and came to visit you?
No, unfortunately, I haven't had any contact with them since they were really, really young. I knew about them and knew what was happening in their life through their grandma, and that's how I stayed informed with contact through her. Because me and my wife, we didn't have much contact either until just
recently. So the grandma's who, your mother or your wife's mother?
My wife's.
Uh-huh. And she, the grandma facilitated keeping the children in touch with you. So she's...
Well, on my part, not on their part. They they were adopted when they were really young. So it was communication one-sided just to let me be at ease knowing that they had a good life.
Well, that's good. And have you... connected with them now that you're out?
Yeah, Jimmy.
Well, what do you think of them? Are they young and beautiful? Or?
Yeah, they're terrific kids. You know, and I thank God for that. And I guess, you know, in a way, I have to thank their adoptive parents for that because they raised them. Uh-huh. And but yeah, Jimmy's 19. He's really cool. I reconnected with him. I've already talked to him. And I just found out my daughter. You know, and she just found out some things about us that we didn't give her up, that we really wanted her, that it was circumstances. And my perception of myself as being an ex-con, a very violent ex-con, and I figured I had no legal rights, no legal grounds to stand on. So I convinced myself to walk away instead of staying straight and fighting for them. And I just went back to prison.
You think they're listening tonight?
I don't know, but I hope so.
Well, if they're not, I think they can find it on the web and listen later. Is there anything you want to say to them right now and right here that you can't say in person?
And I just hope they both know I love them very much. I never stopped loving them. I didn't want to give them up. I didn't give them up. They were basically taken from me. And I'll never stop loving them. And I'm glad to have a relationship with Jimmy. And I hope that me and my daughter can have the same relationship.
So instead of just telling them now, you've told the world that you love them, and I think that kind of confirms that maybe it's true.
Yeah.
Okay. So what about your adjustment to life on the outside now? You have employment and housing. You want to tell me what that is?
Actually, I mean, I never fathomed that the transition that I'm going through right now could really have went as smooth or as easy after 10 years I just done, because I'm out of state from my original state. I didn't know anybody up here. And even in the state where I had family and I paroled, it was never a good transition back into society because of all the years I'd done. But through the classes in Phoenix and stuff, and the community people coming in, it allowed me to break down my stigma of how society felt about me. You know, and I always thought society was stood off from me, but I came to a realization that, you know, I was standing society off. You know, and I looked at society as, I don't know, always against me, always, you know, just...
So how did the Phoenix classes work that helped you come to these realizations?
Well, they do a lot of psychological readings, you know, and some of it I understood, some of it I didn't, but there was always a piece I could take and apply to my life, and that's what I would underline in class, and I would take back to my bunk, and I'd read it throughout the week and try to apply it to, you know, like there was one on... action and reaction, you know, and through that I come to the realization that most of my life I never thought about a reaction. It just, there was a circumstance, there was a reaction, and after some of the readings I started looking within myself and wondering, trying to figure out why I act the way I do, why I react the way I do, you know what I mean, because it was what I believe. Or was it because of what I was programmed to believe?
So would you say you were on the wrong path for a while?
Yeah.
Well, how old were you when you got on the wrong path?
Oh, shoot. Probably, I started really going sideways probably at the age of 13, but...
You didn't have much time on the right path, did you?
No, no.
Okay.
As soon as I was old enough to run the streets, I took the wrong path.
Well, before the show started, we were out there talking in the lobby, and it seemed like you wanted to tell me a little bit more about things that have changed in your thinking and some realizations. Do you want to just kind of free-form talk to the folks for a few minutes?
Yeah, I guess, you know, and I just want to say about that bad path, you know, and it had nothing to do with my parents. I had great parents. They raised me really good. I respected and loved them, so, you know, I just want that to be known. My parents were awesome. It was me that was fucked. I mean, screwed up. But anyway, yeah, you know, and I also, about 2012, I started a relationship with God, which I never had in my life. My mom was a born-again Christian, and so was my sister-in-law. So I had the influence in my life. I never accepted it. I didn't feel that I needed it. But once I kind of start walking in relationship with God, I start seeing myself in a different light. You know, and I start, you know, just like through the phoenix, I start feeling like I was valuable, like I had value, and like, you know, and I didn't, man, for so many years, you know, and I just looked at myself as a convict, and that mindset, I would come into society and I would act like a convict, and society ain't gonna allow you to stay in society when you're, so, you know, and I was defeating myself through my own perception of who I was, and I was actually talking to a lady that was in a vault for Phoenix about 3 days ago, maybe 2 days ago. And we were just talking on the phone, and she told me, "You have an elegant way of writing your feelings about relationship and about yourself." And, you know, it just hit me weird, because elegant is never a word that I related to myself. And that's the part of the perception that I'm talking about, that the community people break down. And maybe I do have an elegant way of writing. I don't know.
Well, I think the best thing about your writing and your speaking is it's so sincere. It's so from the heart. There's nothing phony about it. I can count on it when I ask you a question. You're just going to tell it like it is. And unfortunately, that's a very rare thing to possess, because a lot of people are so concerned with what will everyone think of what they say that they do the double think act. Well, I got to think of what they want me to say, and then I got to say it, and blah, blah. You just say what's on your mind, and I think that's great about you, and I've always liked that, and don't ever lose that.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
You know, that's the way to go. So we were out in the lobby talking also. I wish I could have brought that conversation in here too, but a little bit about your spiritual life. Has there been a change?
Yeah. Like I was saying, after I opened up my heart to God and started a relationship with Him.
How long ago was that?
That was probably about 2012. And a friend of mine in prison, he had been walking with God for I don't know how many years, but he always tried to get me to go to church. And I was like, "No, oh boy, that's not my bag. I'm good, Johnny. I'm good on the path I'm going." And God kind of worked it a different way. Anyway, I'm an artist, and I was doing a portrait of his sister for him. And circumstance had it where he was moved out of our dorm down into a drug treatment program. Well, the only place we could meet was church. So even when I walked down into church, I didn't go down there to find God. I went down there to give a portrait to my homeboy. But the Holy Spirit had different plans, and I don't know, something changed as soon as I walked through the door. And I think it was the way the pastor was doing the service. You know, he wasn't, he didn't get into all the, "You have to do this, you have to do that, you can't do this." And he just got into preaching the relationship and how through a relationship with God can not only change the way you perceive things, but change your heart. And if you start viewing yourself as heaven views you, you'll start changing. You'll start thinking different. You'll start feeling different. And that's what happened.
Well, you know, a key to relationships is it's two-way. You have to talk and you have to listen.
Yeah.
And I'm sure a relationship with God for you had to teach you that you had to talk and you had to listen. Is that sort of sum it up?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Listening can be the hard part, especially listening with God, because, you know, and I got, you know, I a lot of people call it conscience, whatever, you know what I mean? But when I hear that little voice that I used to think the same thing, but now I believe it's the Holy Spirit, and I can hear him when he talks to me. I mean, when I'm praying about something, you know, and I get an impression or a feeling, I know it's him.
That's good. That's good. That you have made a connection and it's turned your life around. Truly.
Yeah. It's.
And how does the family like the new you?
Well, like I say, I'm up here in a state where I don't have much family, but I know the family that I got out here right now, they like the new me. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, the mentors I have at the Phoenix House, Lockwood, West, they took me under the wing as soon as I walked out, man. They walked mm-hmm. me through the first week of transition, of doing all the paperwork, of doing all the things you need to do to get mm-hmm. get started. And without them, I'd have probably, there was a couple times I'd have probably just said screw the paperwork and walked out, because I get real frustrated at that kind of stuff. But having them there and knowing them from inside and in the Phoenix program, and having that brotherhood respect with them, it made it real easy. And that's what continually makes it easy. You know, and the guys at the Phoenix House right now, we all got a brotherhood and respect for each other.
So you live in a Phoenix House, and a Phoenix House is a place that Phoenix Rising Transitions has its hands on. And,
yeah.
And everyone there has been through the Phoenix Rising Transitions program. And as a group, you respect each other for having been through that program and having those values. Is that an ideal transitional place?
Yeah, yeah. You know, and like I say, I could have never... A picture I tried to form in my head of what it's going to be like or what it'd be like, I couldn't... There's no way in the world I could have visually pictured what's going on in my life and with the transition house as a whole. I mean, like I say, we all knew each other from the yard. We all had a respect and a brotherhood. But after going in a Phoenix program, and these are some convicts that have done a lot of time, and we're all in there voluntarily. We're all in there trying to start a new life, man. And you know, I mean, we get a deeper knowledge of each other and a deeper respect than anything we could get on a yard, because for the first time, you know, a bunch of idiots are trying to get their life together and head in a new direction. And a real good partner of mine, they just had a little baby. And when I see him with that baby, it's just like, that's what life is about, man. That's the glory of God. That's the glory of life, man. And you know, he would not be able to hold that baby if he wasn't doing the things he's doing. Mm-hmm. And you know, I mean, it's just an awesome transition to see somebody go from there to there.
How about the transition into the worldly things, like the change in the stores and the highways and the transportation system and everybody carrying a cell phone and so on, and computer-happy people everywhere? How's that been for you?
That was probably the most challenging and somewhat fun hurdle. Because, you know,
I'm glad you think it's fun. It frustrates me constantly.
I'd never even been on the internet before I walked out of prison four weeks ago. And now I get on there and I play around. But my phone even, you know, my partner, Wes, that runs the Phoenix House, he had a phone for me. All I had to do was hook it up. And, man, he had to show me step by step how this thing works, man. It was like a computer in my hand. And I'm like, at first, I'm like, man, all I want to do is make a phone call, man. Now...
Maybe I should make an appointment with them.
Yeah. Now I'm taking pictures. I'm sending pictures. I'm doing texts. And everybody's got a phone, but nobody wants to talk. Everybody wants to text. I that's one thing I don't understand. But that's
not me. I'll always want to talk.
But, yeah, so you know, I'm grateful for technology, because I've been able to share, after connecting with my ex-wife, pictures of me, and she sent me pictures of her and the kids. And
oh, that's good.
So, yeah, it's...
So do you think you and her are actually going to get together?
I don't know, Yomi. I hope and pray that that's the direction it's going in.
You're both available, so it's something you're kind of hoping for.
I believe it'll happen, and so does she.
Well, wouldn't that be nice? I'll wish you luck on that one.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I know. Sometimes if it's the right person, it's wonderful. And I guess it is the right person because she's still open to you.
That's something we found out through communication in the last 3 days. We've probably learned more about each other than we did in a whole relationship before. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's through openness, talking, and just communicating our feelings. I mean, when we do so much time, we learn so easily to hide who we are and what we feel, and just be who we're trying to let the people see we are, or perceive we are, or whatever you want to say. So you come out in the real world, and then whether it's a romantic relationship or a friendship, you still don't know how to show feelings or communicate feelings. And that's what's so awesome about the Phoenix program, man, because I would not even be on this radio show if it wasn't for that, because I was not very good at talking in front of people or even talking about myself to people.
Well, I came to visit the CRCI, Columbia River Correctional Institution, and met with you and other men through the Phoenix program for several years. And I've seen a change in you. You're very verbal now. You were very holding back. And I also felt that you didn't trust any of us at first. And like as if you wondered if we were on your side or not. And now I feel that you've bonded with us in a certain way, and that we're friends because we do trust each other. And that took some time, because that's what it takes, is time. And now here you are on the outside seeing all kinds of people you never met before. And I'm hoping that your ability to trust new people and new things has been cultivated by those experiences.
Yeah, it has very much.
Yeah. So do you have employment?
Right now I'm working part-time with Wes. We've been remodeling some.
Wes, who's that?
Wes, the guy at Phoenix, that runs the Phoenix House.
Okay.
And we've been remodeling some clubs downtown.
So you've been doing some labor work?
Yeah.
That's good.
Painting, just little construction stuff, and just remodeling work. But, I was out about a week and started working with him, which really, I think, helped a lot with the transition, because I didn't have time to really even think about stuff. We would get up, we'd go to work and do what we do and come home. And, it was just, the days were full. So,
How's it feel to have a little money in your pocket?
Feels great. Feels great to go down to the store and get whatever I want.
Yeah. Or buy a hamburger when you feel like it or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And so your plans for the future are to stay at Phoenix House and stay in the Phoenix program and...
Yeah, my goal, I guess, right now is, stay connected to Phoenix. It wouldn't matter if I moved out of the Phoenix House. I'd still stay connected to what they're doing, because I believe in what they're doing.
And they want you to. It's a transition program. They want to help you and let you help them for a while.
Mm-hmm. And like I say, I've seen it work. I know it works. Yeah, I take a sense of pride to be able to turn around and help the next guy, like Wes and Lockwood helped me. I think for people like this, like us,
you mean people who have been incarcerated?
Yeah, convicts. Okay. And I think we went down the wrong road so much and took pride in so many wrong things that, we take pride in, but... now that we're all on the same page and going a different direction, man, there's a pride in helping a brother out and helping a brother make it and succeed,
Well, it's not just a pride. I think you have a joy of seeing them on the right path with you.
Well, that's what pride is to us, joy. Pride is a big issue to convicts. That can be a joy or a negative. It depends on the situation. But I don't know. I'm really happy with my life right now, man.
Well, have you been happy?
No.
It
wasn't my childhood.
Is that a new feeling?
Yeah,
happy?
Yeah, I haven't been much in my adulthood, because between being in prison and coming out and immediately going back to drugs. So mm-hmm. you know, even on the street was, you know, and the freedom I had was mm-hmm. all misery. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, I'm, like I said, I'm reconnecting with my kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love and always have loved my ex-wife. And that looks like it's going in a direction of completion. And the thought of having her back in my life and the kids.
Well, you'll have to use that computer to get them to listen to a tape of this program. And everybody knows Tim loves everybody. And
yeah.
That's good news. Because when you love them, it's easier for them to love you.
Yeah. And I think me and my ex-wife always loved each other. We were running from each other. Uh-huh. We were running from ourselves. And that's what we've kind of learned through our communication with each other. So I look forward to starting a new life with her. I really do.
Well, I'm going to have to say goodbye, but I certainly want to thank you. And I want to thank these folks that came with you. They gave you a ride here. They support you. They're smiling for you and about you. You have a lot of support right here in Portland, even though your family is not here.
Yeah.
Everybody's rooting for Tim to do well, because we know you got it in you to do well. So let's see it happen.
All right. I appreciate that. And thank you for letting me talk.
Okay. I was glad to have you on the program, and I thank everyone that came with you. And I'll just say good night.
Billy Rose was a low rider. Billy Rose was a night fighter. Billy Rose knew trouble like the sound of his own name. Busted on a drunken charge, driving someone else's car. The local midnight sheriff's claim to fame.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to present The Harder They Come as part of the KBOO at the Clinton monthly film series. The Harder They Come is a 1972 Jamaican crime film. With dreams of becoming a successful reggae singer, a young Jamaican man, played by Jimmy Cliff, finds corruption from his record producer.